Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. The Rand McCoy. Come and listen, it's the Rand McCoy show. Hurry, come and listen, it's the Rand McCoy show. Hurry, come and listen, it's the Rand McCoy show. The Rand McCoy.
She's persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose: to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions. And now, your host, Anna.
The Rand McCoy.
Welcome to the Rand McCoy Show today. We're excited that you are joining us today. I am Shauna Stallworth, and before I invite our host to the call, I just want to share with you a little bit about what we have in store for you today. Today's guest is Ms. Elle Neves, and I hope I'm saying her name correctly, and we're excited that she's joined us. She's a leadership expert, and she's going to give us some strategies for emerging leaders in the marketplace, and we're excited that she's joining us on today. I want to encourage you, for those of you who are listening to our broadcast for the first time, if you want to watch us live, please tune in to Ustream.tv and look up Woman Act Now, or become a member today of our organization by visiting our website at www.womanactnow.com. I'd like to talk to you more. You can give me a call at 877-751-5700. My extension is 407. I'd like to talk to you more about our organization and how we can help coach you through the execution gap toward achieving your dreams, visions, and ideas. I'd also like to give you a promo code for a 30-day free trial so that you can check us out and see how beneficial this organization will be to you living out your life's purpose. I want to invite our master coach to the call on today, and she'll continue in our topic for the month, or our theme for the month, which is power to lead, or leadership power. She'll talk to us a little bit before we invite our guests to the show on today. So welcome, Coach Anna.
Thank you very much, Ms. Shauna. Hello, everybody. You are loved and appreciated today. We are so excited to have you on this show, and I'm excited about our guest. She is an awesome young lady, and she is going to be sharing some principles to help us show up, speak up, and step up in this area of leadership. So I'm excited about that. We're going to invite her to the show in just a few minutes. I want to give you just a few things before I invite her to the show. I want to talk just a little bit about your leadership and about delegation. When we think about delegation, one of the things that I have learned is that delegation is not permanent. Most people think because they delegated it an assignment, or they delegated an opportunity to someone, then you can't take it back. Well, I'm here to tell you, ladies, yes, you can, because a part of being a great leader is really having the huspus or the guts to go to someone who is not able to get the job done. So when we think about delegation is not permanent, the death of any leader is to delegate a task to someone you know will fail. But before you take the fall, I want to give you a few steps that will help you wake up and make some decisions. The first one is admit that you have a failing situation. Most of us, we hold on, and we keep hope alive, but nothing ever happens. So as a leader, you're going to have to be the first to step up to the plate and say, this isn't going the way we planned. We're headed for a hole. This isn't going to make it. This is a failing situation. So now you know, here at Woman Act Now, we believe that failure is feedback. So you're the person that has to step up and say, wait a minute, let's take a look at this. Let's understand what is going on here. And your next step is to understand that delegation is not permanent, that just because you've assigned people to certain things, if they can't get the job done, then you have to step up to the plate, evaluate it, and let's do something about it. So the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to assess the cause. Why is this happening? You have to ask the question, is a person capable? Do they have the proper skills? Do they have the proper resources? You've got to ask the question. The next thing that you'll do is you'll recover your delegated authority. What that means is that if you have delegated authority to someone and they are now the authority over a group of people, mm-hmm. it's important that you talk to them about the fact that you're going to change your position, mm-hmm. that you are going to recover your delegated authority. Mm-hmm. Then you need to bring that team together so that they, too, understand that you changed the assignment. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to redefine your expectations. Maybe a new leader might emerge. Maybe someone else who is more capable can emerge, but it is your responsibility as a leader to redefine your expectations. The last part of this process of really regaining your authority is simple. Reassign the task to someone who you believe is capable. Now, remember, I said that when you delegate, the death of any leader is to delegate a task to someone you know will fail, but before you take the fall, you've got to do something about it. The seventh step in this process is simple. Don't forget to follow through on follow-up. That's probably what happened to that first one. Somebody forgot to follow up. So you can reclaim your authority because delegation is not permanent. So I wanted to just share that tidbit of information with you, and we're going to wrap that around some other leadership principles after we hear from our guest today. We want you to know that this is your time, your opportunity as a member of Woman Act Now. This is an open forum and an open dialogue. You got an incredible young woman that is about to come before us and to share this information. So she is available to you. She has her own website. She's going to talk a little bit about that. She is a coach. She is a leader. But I want to talk to you a little bit about her bio so you really understand her track record, because I think that she can bring us some powerful principles today on how to show up, speak up, and step up to the plate on being a great leader. And so her bio is: Ellie is a certified life coach, life plan facilitator, and coach trainer with Life Purpose Coaching Centers International. Her presentation style is very passionate, direct, and genuinely speaks with a confidence, humility, and honesty rarely found in the Christian business community. Looks like I might be meeting one of my twins in the spirit right here today on Woman Act Now Radio. You know, we're always passionate about women who can be genuine, who can be direct, and who can certainly be their authentic self.
Yes.
So she's fresh out of law school. She cut her teeth in the high-stakes game of the New York City politics, often the youngest and many times the only woman sitting at the table. She earned a reputation as a much sought-after strategist. Through her unrelenting work ethic and natural leadership ability, she was recruited for campaign leadership roles such as New York State political director and campaign manager for national and citywide campaigns. Ellie eventually transitioned into the private sector and became an award-winning attorney for the Government Relations Department at MetLife. Later working as a chief of staff to the president of MetLife International, today Ellie is a leadership speaker, writer, and coach. She is also the founder and president of Leadership Strategies for Women, LLC. So I want to welcome Miss Ellie to the show. Are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much for that kind introduction.
Well, I believe it's all true, and I hope you had an opportunity. You may have had an opportunity to, or you may know Leslie Denman, the young lady who booked you for this show.
Yes, Leslie is a dynamic speaker.
Who is just an incredible gift, talented young lady, committed to young people, committed to young girls, and I'm familiar with life purpose coaching. So I just want to welcome you to the show and give you an opportunity to share some of the wisdom that you have, the expertise that you have in this area of leadership for women. So the first thing I want to ask you is, what really inspired you to launch your speaking and coaching programs on leadership strategies? Because you have quite a resume here. Certainly have put in quite a bit of effort, time, and resources in your educational experience. So how did you end up on this platform?
Well, kind of by default. It really started when I was in politics and I found myself working very diligently to climb up the ladder of success, as many of us do when we're fresh out of school. And as I was climbing up the ladder, I would look around and realize that there weren't many women there with me. And I was observing a lot of men in leadership roles and learning a lot about their leadership styles and recognizing that as I was trying to implement some of those strategies, they weren't necessarily working for me. And I learned very quickly that if I was going to succeed, I was going to have to do it very differently than a man. And as I would change my style and I would see that it was starting to work for me, and as I kept getting ahead, other young women were coming to me and asking me, you know, what was it that I was doing? How was it that I was climbing up? Because they were finding many barriers in their trajectory. And I started mentoring a lot of women, and I started coaching a lot of them. And years later, I learned that coaching was a profession and decided to get certified. So I kind of fell into the coaching by default.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. You know, I think many of us have that natural inclination as women to be encouragers, you know, and to be motivators of other women, and that's really how we develop relationally. Is I'm always surprised when women say, I don't get along with other women. I'm like, missing a gene there,
Right.
Something's wrong with that DNA, girl. So, because when I think about how powerful these relationships are with women, and how they, number one, they just talk to you. You know what I'm saying? If you try to get in a circle with men, and this is my next question to you, Ellie, and I know that you'll probably experience this, or if you have experienced it, is what is the difference between leadership styles of men and women, and how did you navigate that process?
I think you kind of hit it on the nail when you were talking about relationships. Men and women relate very differently.
Yes.
And they develop relationships very differently. Men tend to develop relationships that are broader, and they have a more informal network, so they tend to connect with a lot more people. Women, on the other hand, tend to build deeper relationships that are built on trust. And while that is something that really helps us, I believe, I think it also hurts us. Because while we're busy focusing in on one relationship with one person, men are out there building broader relationships, extending their field of operation. And we need to be able to do that a little bit more. And that might mean that we have to sacrifice just a little bit on the depth of a relationship, but focusing more on the long range, on the long-term view of building more relationships across the board with people at different levels so that we can expand our network and really be able to reach out to different people when it is time for us to get ahead.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point, Ellie, is that I think a part of that process is that it might be easy for us to want to develop these deeper and trusting relationships. One of the things I find, and I found that working with clients in the coaching process, especially those who are entrepreneurs and trying to build their business, and you begin to try to develop that plan of action for them, those executable steps, and you start talking about filling that funnel. And I know you've had this situation as a coach as well. And you talk about that phone power kind of thing, is that you got to get on the phone and start cold calling people.
Right.
What is that reaction? Most women react very similarly. It's women that are kind of a little bit unusual that are willing to take the risk on relationships that they really haven't invested in.
Right.
That's what that experience is like for us. The immediate, the wall or the barrier comes up. When I say, well, you just pick 10 people you might know, they'd be like, oh, no, I don't know them that well.
Right.
So it's like, how do we overcome some of these things? And that's just an example, not how to do phone power, but I think you're hitting into a deeper area here when we talk about how do we really overcome that barrier of wanting to really create those kinds of relationships before we ask for help. Before we ask for a referral, before we ask for business.
Yeah, and I think that not only as we talk about how women build relationships, this is how they view them, because that's exactly
good. Go ahead and talk to us about that.
Yeah, that's the barrier that really gets in the way to, you know, before they even pick up the phone and make that cold call. It's exactly what you said. It's like, oh, well, I don't know them that well. So they go there, and that becomes the initial block to it. And if you observe men, when they interact with each other, they just start talking and chatting away. And sometimes you think that these people have been, you know, friends for years, and they probably just met like 10 minutes ago.
Yes. And you know what else is interesting too, Ellie, when you think about that, one of the things I've noticed about men is they get to the net, they get to the bottom line quickly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to cut through the mustard and determine, you know what, can we do some business? And if we can, that's great, man. Maybe we'll play some golf or something.
Exactly, exactly. They don't forego the relationship just because they didn't have an opportunity at that time. And that's the important thing. And again, just being okay with the informality of a relationship. Every relationship that you establish doesn't have to be a deep and meaningful one. It could be a casual one, but that one casual contact that you make today can actually lead to some meaningful business in 2, 3, or 4, or 5 years from now.
You know, that is awesome. You just spoke to me, girl. You just spoke to me in the sense of be okay with informality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Be okay with that, because you made me think about some relationships I just came into contact with, and I just thought about, you know, maybe we have to get to know each other, but immediately I said, you know, I'm going to just recommend this person to somebody else that, you know, who needed something.
Right.
Even though I don't know that person, I tried to make contact with her to let her know that, you know, this person's going to be calling you and so forth, and we haven't done that, but I think you're right. Be okay with informality.
Mm-hmm.
Is that some of these relationships, we won't take them deeper, will we?
Right. And I think that's why I know when I coach women and I mention networking, they think of it as a dirty word. Or they view themselves entering a cocktail reception where they have to hand out a series of cards. And that's not just what it's about. It's also about just connecting with people and asking them, how can I be of service to you?
Mm-hmm.
How can I help you? If you can make a connection that way, maybe that person can't help you right now. But you know what? Later on down the line, they'll want to return the favor.
Mm-hmm. You see, I told you we was of the same cloth. I told them, you know, we have this thing of connect working
mm-hmm.
instead of networking is starting off with that giving mentality.
Absolutely.
Is that you have something to offer someone or anyone, regardless of what you get from that relationship. So, girl, you're getting up in me now. You know what I'm saying, Ellie? I'm going to have to talk to you offline because I see you probably can't see me because I'm broadcasting live. But if you did, what you would see is those two fingers going back and forth because I'm feeling you. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this question because
sure.
This is something we talk about too, is credibility in the workplace as a leader. We've talked about it this month. So share with us your knowledge base on that area.
Sure. And when you launched the program, you mentioned the three-part phrase that I like to use as my mantra, the show up, speak up, and step up. And
yes.
That's really the formula that I like to use when I coach clients and tell them that this is your formula for increasing your credibility in the workplace. And, you know, when women think about leadership and stepping into a leadership role, they often get intimidated. But the reality is that in today's economy, you know, shying away from the limelight really is not an option anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in fact, stepping into a leadership role really is necessary if you want to ensure success and longevity in your career. So when you think about the mantra, the show up, speak up, and step up, you think about showing up. You know, if you want to get ahead in your career, you really have to be seen. People have to know who you are. They have to know what you bring to the table, especially if you're someone who's new to your organization. You've been there for a year and a half or less. It's important that you make it a priority to show up on time for meetings, that you attend the company picnic when they host it, that you go to the holiday party, that you set up lunch dates with key members of your organization. And showing up is always going to allow you to become better known by your peers as well as people who are above you that can provide you with plum assignments and promotions.
That's good. So keep going. You go on and share that with us. We're listening. We're on the edge of our seat, and we have people who are on the call who are listening to this program, and I want to make sure that all of you who are listening to us, and they're all over the country, if you have some questions for our coach, we want you to raise your hand, and we're going to invite you to the call. But go ahead and tell us a little bit about when you talk about from show up to speak up. How do we do that?
Sure. Well, speaking up, you know, in the workplace, being seen is really only half the battle. The other half is being heard. And when you participate in a meeting, you know, one of the keys that I always share with the clients that I coach is make sure that you show up to the meeting prepared. Sometimes we just show up to the meeting and the first time that we see the agenda is when we sit down at the table. Well, I encourage my clients to always read the agenda before they enter the meeting. You know, and show up prepared to make insightful and valuable recommendations that are going to help to move projects forward. And if there's an item on the agenda that you don't know anything about, you know what, pick up the phone. Ask the person who's responsible for that item for some information prior to going into the meeting. That's just going to set you up for success. Having a voice in your organization really is important if you want to have a positive impression on people who are going to have authority over promotions and perks that they can grant you later on.
That is excellent. That is excellent. Now, the third part of that mantra is step up. Show us
how
to step up. We loving it.
That's right. That's right. The third part is stepping up. And a lot of women in the workplace think that if they work hard enough at their current assignments, that they're going to get noticed and that they're eventually going to get promoted. And I'm here to tell you that that's just not true. The reality is that working hard on your current assignments is just not enough. You have to assess your competencies, and you need to take the initiative to volunteer for more challenging assignments that are going to highlight your skills and your capabilities. Not only will your work be commended if you do a good job, but your ability to step up when needed is also going to be rewarded.
Wow, that's good, girl. That is good. I'm loving it. How you liking it, John?
Oh,
where's that easy button? That was easy, Allie.
That was easy.
Yes, it was. Quite awesome. Yes, too. I love it. I love it, too. We're going to tell women to show up.
Yes.
Speak up.
And step up.
And step up. Now, I want to see if anybody will show up, speak up, or step up to the plate who's listening to us today when we have such an incredible gift right in our midst. Who can take your questions. If you're having a little challenge in the workplace, you're having a problem maybe leading or you need some more tips, we want to hear from you. We have some of our regular listeners on the line as well, so it's time to speak up so we can ask Ms. Ellie some questions. While we're waiting on some of our brave women to talk to you, I want to ask this question when we think about different strategies for women to really, you've given us some great ideas with those three points, those three strategies, but also in this particular climate, when we think about what's going on, and we certainly have been sharing with women, it's time to shine, and you said something in the last part of stepping up is that, you know, to do what you do mm-hmm. is certainly not enough. It's really what's expected of you and beyond. So when it comes to maybe some women that are in transition about their career, how can they maximize their current talents or gifts for new opportunities?
I think one of the things that is vitally important is to sit down and develop a growth plan. If we don't develop a growth plan, whenever an opportunity comes our way, we tend to grab at it. Or we question ourselves and we wonder if that's the way to go. But when you have a growth plan and you have a direction in which you're going, it's easier for you to assess opportunities that come your way. And really, in this day and age, it's really increasingly more important that you be strategic about your leadership path. So developing a plan as well as a time frame for where you want to go and how you plan to get there is essential. And you start by doing your research. You become a student of your industry as well as your organization or the organization that you're looking to transition into. You become familiar with trends and organizational changes and look for help. It's important that you enlist the help and get the advice of mentors that are going to help you to pave the way. And this is the kind of research and planning that's going to help you to become wiser, help you to make better decisions and better choices about opportunities that come your way, and hopefully, when that happens, you'll also see that a whole host of new opportunities begin to open themselves up for you.
Wow, that's excellent. Well, Ella, we certainly do appreciate your taking the time to join us today. We want to know how do individuals get in touch with you, and tell us a little bit about what you have to offer by way of services, what you do.
Sure. I am foremost a women's leadership speaker, and I go out to organizations and to corporations, and I speak to women's groups as well as men's group to talk about leadership development. I help groups to develop strategic goals as well as with personal branding. And I also do one-on-one coaching with women, and usually through 55-minute telephone coaching sessions or face-to-face if needed. And we talk about planning. And one of the things that I love to do when I begin my coaching programs is to begin with a strategic assessment to determine what the woman's skill sets are and her strengths, and then we build our coaching program from there.
Oh, that's beautiful. And you can share your website so that they know how to get in touch with you.
Sure. I have two websites. If you're interested in coaching, you can go to leadershipstrategiesforwomen.com. And if you're interested in my speaking programs, you can go to ellienieves.com. That's E-L-L-I-E, N as in Nancy, I-E, V as in Victor, E-S as in Sam. That's ellienieves.com or elliespeaks.com.
Oh, well, you got a lot of choices, ladies. So, again, we want to thank you for joining us. We didn't have any of our ladies who wanted to show up and step up and speak up because I guess you just did such an awesome job, Ellie, that they didn't even have a question for you. You know what I'm saying? So do you want to leave us? Do you want to share some closing remarks with us?
Sure, absolutely. I just want to continue to encourage women to really seek to develop their growth plans. And when you're out there in the workplace and you're looking to advance, make sure that you also come to the table prepared to offer solutions and to volunteer for stretch assignments. And while I have the mic, I just want to say a special thanks to Anna and to Shauna for inviting me, and a special shout out to my good friend Leslie Denman, who is a very dynamic speaker and coach herself.
Yes, well, thank you so much. Birds of a feather, we do flock together.
Amen.
So we'll be getting in contact with you and really wanting to know more about what you're doing and how we can serve you and how we can help you here at Woman Act Now. We believe that there's marketplace space for you and me. We do similar things, but we can complement each other, and so we're not threatened by other women who
Absolutely.
Are doing some of the same things. What we really want to do is help to support your vision, help to support what you're doing. So when you got something coming up, be sure to send us an email. We'll post it on our Facebook pages. We'll post it on our Twitter. You
Great.
Just send it to us, and we're going to pass it on because you are deserving, and people should hear what you have to say. So
thanks so
we're
much.
We're so pleased that you joined us and took time out of your day to share these powerful principles with us, because we are going to what? Show up, step up, and speak up.
Speak up.
All right. We'll talk to you
real
soon. Thank
you so much.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.
All right, ladies, you're listening to Coach Anna and Shauna on Woman Act Now Radio. We just finished our segment with Ellie Nieves, who is a speaker, coach, and did an incredible job on our leadership topic this month. And we're going to take just a short break, and we're going to come right back to you after this break.
Power up with Coach Anna McCoy. Today's message, detours.
Did you know that life's detours can sometimes save you time? It's true. They can introduce you to new opportunities while still getting you to your intended destination. Consider choosing to take the detour and change the way you see the route. Be open, be curious, and be expectant. So just be mindful of today's journey and try hard not to be frustrated or discouraged by any delays, but rather view them as unintentional treasures.
Power up with Coach Anna McCoy.
Brought to you by the world's largest DoubleTree Resort, Spa, and Hotel on International Drive in Orlando. Plan a conference or bring your family to relax and enjoy a place where you are celebrated and accommodated. African American owned, DoubleTree Resort and Spa, International Drive, Orlando, Florida. Visit DoubleTreeOrlandoIDrive.com. Call 407-352-1100.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Coach Anna and Shauna Stallworth. We're excited that you joined us. So, Coach, what you got in store for us now? We've been talking about the effectiveness of leadership, and Miss Ellie was just such an awesome, awesome, awesome guest. Great interview there. So talk to us a little bit. What you got for us? You got some manager and competencies for us. What you got to say?
Yeah, I think this last half of the show, because we're coming to a closing this month,
when it comes to our ability to continue to, these discussions about leadership. And I want to thank all of our listeners who joined us and who joined us to hear our special guests on today for taking the time to listen in to Woman Act Now Radio. Share it with your friends. If you're listening to us now, you can hit the tweet button and share it button, or you can look at my Twitter and share the message where you can watch us live, or you can listen to the radio program. But I want to spend the last half of the show, and again, I want to open it up to those who may be listening. If you're listening via the video broadcast, you can call us and join the conversation at 718-664-6402. Again, that's 718-664-6402, and then you can join the discussion. Because in this last hour, we talked a little bit about delegation. I loved what Ellie Nieves shared with us, our leadership coach. She shared about, showing up, mm-hmm. stepping up, speaking up and then stepping up. So I think that along with that, I want to talk a little bit about the manager versus the leader, mm-hmm. talking about some of the competencies. And oftentimes people perceive, if I'm a manager, am I a leader? Well, we know, and we certainly promote here at Woman Act Now, that lead from where you are. If you're a manager, you're a supervisor, or you're a peer, learn to lead from where you are. So this last half hour, we're going to talk a little bit about what that means. And as a manager, I'm going to represent the leader. Shauna will represent the manager. And we're going to give you two sides to this story, and we'll stop and we'll talk a little bit about it. When we think about a manager versus a leader's competencies, you know, and you can think about how you're operating in your workplace. As a manager, one of the things that a manager does, and what we'll do, we'll give you the view, the competency as a manager, and then we're going to give you the view as a leader. Can you be a leader manager? Absolutely. But there is a difference. So the first one that we'll talk about is a manager
has a short-range perspective,
and a leader has a long-range perspective. Now, can you be both? Absolutely. What does it mean? A manager's short-range perspective is, you know what? What do we have to do? What's been delegated to me? What have I delegated to the people on my team? A leader's long-range perspective is, how is all of this going to impact the big picture? You know, it's not just we're going to get it done today, but I need to know what are we going to do this week, this month, this year as a leader. So a manager
plans how and when.
A leader asks what and why. See, do you understand? It's like, why are we doing this and what are we doing, versus the manager who says how and when. Why? Because the what and the why establishes the vision. Mm-hmm. The how and the when gets it done. Mm-hmm. So are you seeing this? Can you be both? Absolutely. But as a leader, you have to be a person with visionary perspective so that you see the bigger picture, so that you begin to ask the right questions. As a manager, you are the doer. You're the executor of what is being spoken. I had a coaching call yesterday with a young lady who worked in a corporation, a very large corporation, and she was very close to the CEO of that company. And one of the things she said to me is the visionary, you know, he goes out, he shares the story, he tells people, he gives them the big picture, and you know what? I'm the person behind the scenes, and what I do is I execute whatever he says, or I make sure what he says can be executed. So as a manager, we look at those things. A manager does what?
Eyes the bottom line.
And a leader eyes the horizon. Very, very similar to that long-range perspective. You know, at the end of the day, if you're a manager, you have a certain responsibility to oversee a particular area. As a leader, we want to know, how is this going to impact us, you know, 5 years from now? We want to look at those financial models, those forecasts right now. How is that going to impact us? That's why I'm asking the question about what is this going to look like 3 years from now versus where we are today. I know as a manager it's important that you can manage that bottom line, you can keep your eyes on it, you can watch it, but as a leader, I want to know how the bottom line is going to take us where we want to go, or how is it going to impact us when we get there. A manager
imitates others,
and a leader originates. I love that. You know why that's important? because a manager usually is a person who is following authority. They're following instruction. Although you can have some creativity with your imitations, oftentimes you have been given a charge and it's time for you to do something or to carry it out. But a leader originates vision. You know, you might come up with particular ideas. Not that you are the brainchild of it, but you are responsible for influencing that original thought. You are responsible for gathering a team together and say, I need to think about this. Here's an example. A leader originates. So I was so excited. I walked out of my office yesterday, and I went over to Shauna's office, and I said, Shauna, you're going to be so proud of me. She says, what, you know? All you need is another one, you know, some enthusiastic person in your environment, okay? That's all you need, just one. And so, but we got two. You just need one. But when I thought about being that person of an originating, she was not probably thinking about this. And I said, Shauna, I've just hired a team of consultants to write a business plan to help us reevaluate everything we're doing with Woman Act Now, with Act Now, and some of the new ideas we want to do. And she says, oh, my God, what'd you say? I said, I'm proud of you. Way to go. This is going to do it. Everything we've been thinking about is going to help us shape up and get moving. That's right. Shape up, step up, show up. We're going to do it all. And so when you think about being a leader, it is our responsibility to continue to think about some of these things, whereas when you think about what were you doing yesterday?
I was managing the bottom line.
You see what
I'm saying?
Eyes on the bottom line, the visionary. Here she is. She didn't got us into something else. So now we've got this I don't know how many pages of this questionnaire, and I'm thinking, look at what I got ourselves into. Okay, so now we've got to go and start really thinking about what is this all about. Mm-hmm. So I'm just excited that we took the step to make that happen. So a manager
does things correctly,
and a leader does the correct thing. What does that mean? That is powerful. I hope you hear it. A manager what?
Does things correctly.
And a leader does the correct thing. What's awesome about that is when you think about the choices that we make, again, when we go to that competency of a manager's role is to execute the correct thing. Correctly. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to choose the right thing, make the right choice as a leader. You know, oftentimes I've told my little nieces and nephews is trying to give them an illustration of a good thing versus the right thing. A good thing is following directions, kind of. The right thing is doing exactly what you've been told to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, you might tell a child, go and mop the kitchen. They go and sweep the kitchen only. And they said, well, I swept it. I said, well, that was a good thing, but it was not what? The right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the manager's responsibility is not only to do the right thing, but it's also to follow the lead of the person that has chosen the correct thing
mm-hmm.
and be able to carry it out. So a manager accepts the status quo. Accepts the status quo. And guess what a leader does? A leader challenges the status quo. That means that, you know what, we're always pushing it to the edge as a leader. And if you're in your environment and you're not pushing that envelope a little bit, if you're accepting it, then you probably know where you are. We can say a manager follower, a leader follower, whatever the case, when it comes to these competencies, because you end up kind of in the same place. But when we think about challenging the status quo, always pushing us, encouraging, strengthening us, instructing us to go to the next level, and that's what leaders do. Seeks continuity.
Mm-hmm.
A manager
seeks continuity.
And a leader seeks change. And what that means, what does that mean? We want the same cycle as a manager. Just tell us what to do so we can do that over and over again. A leader then takes on the role to seek change. A leader should be looking at, is this system working?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is the workflow working?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a manager can continue to do that and continue to do that until you start to see, wait a minute. A leader will say, wait a minute, I don't think this is, I know it's easy for you right now, but it's really not giving us the results that we want.
Mm-hmm.
So we seek change when change is needed.
Focuses on goals for improvement.
A manager focuses on goals for improvement.
And a leader focuses on goals of innovation. Two different things, people. A manager, we're focusing on an existing system, a current system, and we're seeking how can we improve that system if it's necessary. A leader focuses on goals of innovation, pushing the envelope. I just had a great conversation with the marketing rookie, that's Andrea Bailey, Woman Act Now, for all of those who are doing your websites and you don't know what you're doing and you need to seek a little bit of wisdom, you need to call the marketing rookie. You can look it up on our Woman Act Now website and send her a private message. But I was having a conversation with her, and what I recognize in sharing with you is the competencies that I share as a leader versus a manager. I'm not trying to, I can be one and two at the same time when you have a small operation. But my conversation with her was very visionary. It was very innovative. It was a thought process that she wasn't familiar with. And she says, wow, Coach, if we're able to do this, wow, this is amazing. And I'm thinking, this is the way I think, I'm thinking, I'm having a conversation with a marketing rookie expert because I believe that her expertise is for all the marketing rookies. Okay? Not that she's a marketing rookie, but it's for all of us shade tree individuals. I'm not really a shade tree. I'm a qualified individual. But for those who are trying to do certain things, but I felt if I spoke with her a little bit about this innovative thought I had, she could help me to kind of expand that, accept it, reject it, give me some kind of feedback. So leaders focus on goals of innovation. So we've set some time aside for next week so that we can talk about new innovations on how we can continue to do what we do and do it better here at Woman Act Now. A manager based, power is based on position or authority. Got that? What does that mean as a manager? We've talked about the different levels of leadership here at Woman Act Now and how you earn and how you kind of step up that ladder to build relationships. And a leader's power is based on personal influence. And we've talked about influence and how important that place of influence. And Pam Ross did just such an incredible job sharing with us on how to influence people. And her book is Serving, Leading, and Loving. And we want to encourage you to get that. Pam Ross, you can go to pamross.net to order her book, but it is Serving, Leading, and Loving. And she shared some great principles with us this week about influence. So a leader's position, our power is based on personal influence. A conversation I was having, just to show you how powerful that is I was having a conversation yesterday with a young lady who was calling me, asking me if I would be an influence manager. Influence manager or influence leader. So she's calling me to ask me, can you do this? And I'm thinking, what does that mean? Well, when we think about influence, what is leadership? Leadership is influence. It is our ability to influence others to do, to take an action, to participate, to do something that what we say, what we do has weight. You know, not that you have to be the person to execute, but it is an opportunity for you as a leader to show how you have really proven yourself through that process of leadership, of developing leadership relationships with other individuals. So when I think about that leadership, those five levels of leadership, the first one is position or title, and this is where people follow because they have to. You have a right to be a leader because of the position, really, that you're in. Level two has to do with permission. People follow because they want to, and this has to do with relationships. Level three is production. And I love this. People follow because of what you have done for the organization. It's based on your results. And oftentimes these first three have to do, and a leader will have to, he or she has to travel up this continuum of leadership, but most managers will remain in this place of rights, relationships, and results. They hardly ever get to that place of influence unless they will push themselves in the position that they are and lead from where they are. Lead a vertical relationship. You know, you might have people underneath you, and remember, they're going to follow you because of your position. They're going to follow you based on the permission that people have given you or because they might want to, and then they will follow you based on production. You know, Ellie talked about be a person of productivity in your environment. People will get to know who you are. When you show up, when you speak up, when you step up to the plate, they will know who you are. And then the fourth level of leadership has to do with personnel development. People follow because of what you have done for them. I love this one, too, because this is about reproduction. This is where people start to want to emulate you. Mm-hmm. They want to mentor, be mentored by you. Mm-hmm. They want to have a touch of your life, mm-hmm. you know, in them. They see what you do, and they want to be able to do it like you. So it's important that you continue to grow. And as a manager, you can do that, but as a leader, this is a requirement of you because your focus is really on, or your power really is based in personal influence. Mm-hmm. And that is level five, which is personhood. People follow because of who you are and what you represent. And that's what we call respect. People follow you because they respect what you've done.
A manager demonstrates skills and technical competence.
And a leader demonstrates skill in selling the vision, just like the example I gave you just a few minutes before about the young lady behind the scenes and talking about the CEO who goes forth and sells that vision as the leader. Mm-hmm. And now those managers are people who work, even if you're not titled a manager, mm-hmm. you have been given stewardship over some area mm-hmm. of the business or your own personal business, and you should take responsibility for that, even as a manager, mm-hmm. that it says. And neither of these, I'm not saying one is better than the other, I am just comparing the core competencies of a manager versus a leader, because oftentimes people think because they're managing, they're mm-hmm. leading. You have to choose to lead. You have to choose to lead from within and lead right from where you are. And so when we think about a manager demonstrates skill in technical competence, and a leader demonstrates selling the vision.
Mm-hmm. And a manager demonstrates skill in administration.
And a leader demonstrates skill in dealing with ambiguity, meaning that you're going to handle that mm-hmm. that area of administration, okay. whereas I'm going to look at a whole lot of things,
mm-hmm.
you know. But as a leader, you're going to be able to look at all of this. Mm-hmm. But as a manager, you have to really focus on those skills of administering all
mm-hmm.
of the dreams and the visions
mm-hmm.
that a leader has. Okay?
And a manager demonstrates skill in supervision.
Now, a leader demonstrates skill in persuasion, and that is what influence is. I got to be able to erupt in you, in the core of who you are, to be passionate enough about this vision, to be passionate enough
mm-hmm.
about your skill set,
mm-hmm.
to let you know and to encourage you that you can do it even when you don't think you can.
Mm-hmm.
That's where leaders excel, to
mm-hmm.
persuade you to continue to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a manager really focuses their attention on supervising the task that you have been assigned to do. So I'm going to persuade you to say you can do it.
That's right.
And then that manager has to supervise your doing.
Mm-hmm.
So a manager
works toward employee compliance.
And a leader works towards employee commitment. So I really hope that you're seeing the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to invite you, if you're listening in, we want to invite you to the show to have a dialogue, to share, to ask some questions if you like. You can call us at 718-664-6402 and join the conversation. You're listening to Woman Act Now Radio with Coach Anna McCoy and Shauna Stallworth.
All right, I want to invite 631-691 to the call today, to the show. All right. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I just tuned in. I'm new to this, and I want to know what you guys happen to be talking about.
Yes, we're talking about leadership today, and we're talking about a manager versus a leader's competency. And that's our topic. We're doing the power of leadership. Are you a person in leadership?
No, I'm just a kid.
Okay, you're just a kid. Well, you know what? You're going to be one of those kids that are going to be a powerful, powerful leader if you stay tuned to what we're talking about, because you're going to get the jump on some of your peers.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you for listening.
Okay, I'll keep listening.
All righty. So you're listening to Coach Anna McCoy and Shauna Stallworth, and we're talking about leadership, the power of leadership, the manager versus the leader competency, what those differences are. And so I want to just thank the caller who just came on the line to being so courageous. And you just stick with us, girl, because you are going to be somebody special, because you already are, and you're going to be so much smarter. You know,
yes,
you might
have
to lead your club, lead something in your life.
Yeah.
You'll be able to do it. So thank you for joining us. So the manager seeks standard operating procedures.
Sets.
Yes, sets standard operating procedures. And leaders actually set policy. That's a great competency, because you need to know the difference. Standard operating procedures are what we do. It's how we're going to implement policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about on our GPS about policies, and policies are how we manage behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So how we do that is through standard operating procedures. We write these things out so that everyone knows exactly how they should behave. So if you work in an environment and you have a standard dress code, that's operating procedures, because we've developed policies. The policy is we have a dress code, the standard operating procedure, which will be enforced by that manager, is what that policy states. The next one is plans.
A manager plans tactics.
And a leader plans strategy. So when we think about that as a leader, planning strategy is really, we want to look at the overall picture of how we're going to strategically achieve our goal. Then the manager, in turn, actually plans the tactics. Those are the executable steps to get that strategy done.
And a manager relies on analytical decision-making style.
And you know what a leader relies on, honey. We rely on our intuitive decision-making style. What that means is that, you know, I feel this in my gut. We're like, we can do this because we're just so excited. Can't you see it? Intuitive. But a manager's responsibility is to bring us back to the table and say, you know, that's great. That sounds like a wonderful idea. But wouldn't it be great if we just run some analysis on this to see maybe how that balance sheet might look, maybe see how, you know, the cost, what kind of cost is associated with that big dream you have? So we need managers, people.
A manager is risk cautious.
And a leader actually is a person who takes the necessary risk. Remember, when we think about a manager has several different roles to play. They keep their eye on the bottom line. They think about things from an analytical standpoint. Remember, that leader is visionary focused, maybe can see some things because we have a much broader perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So it may appear as though we might be careless sometimes, but we're looking at the big picture, so we learn how to take the necessary risk.
Mm-hmm.
A manager
uses a transactional communication style.
And a leader uses a transformational communication style. The difference in that, and this is one we're going to stop on for just a second, when we talk about a manager using a transactional leadership or communication style, basically they want you to do something. There's an exchange of communication. Like, for instance, I'm going to give you instruction so you can do a task. I'm going to delegate some responsibility so you can get it done. A leader, on the other hand, is a transformational communicator, meaning that we are looking for change, you know, not just in this moment, but long-term change that will happen in the organization, in this even one-on-one communication, is that I don't want to just do it for right now. I want what I have to say as a leader to have a long-term transforming effect on that particular person or that organization versus just doing it for the moment.
A manager mostly uses an informational base of facts and data.
Yes. And leaders, like I said, we have that intuitive decision-making style. So we use as an informational base our gut feeling. This is just how I feel. You know, I had this feeling before. This is what we should do. And these are neither right nor wrong. They are the differences between the two.
A manager builds success through maintenance of quality.
And a leader builds success through employee commitment. So you see the difference of maintaining the quality. If we set a standard, that manager is going to make sure we keep doing the same thing over and over. We keep delivering that same burger the same way, that same cup of coffee the same way, that same product. Whereas a leader really builds success through employee commitment by developing relationships with the people you work with. One of the persons who really impacted me in this area of leadership is a woman. As soon as I was getting ready to say it, it slipped my tongue. But she worked for United Way, and she was just an incredible Marion Hurd. Thank you. Marion Hurd, she's just an incredible leader and still is in the United Way organization, and her ability to build success through employee commitment was phenomenal as it related to their donor base with United Way and various different things, as well as the commitment. She was so visionary that she could stir up people all over the place, various different companies, relational, very, very relational, because she was such a visionary leader. Let's go to managers.
Does not want to experience anarchy.
And then a leader does not want to experience inertia. Anarchy has more to do with managers. They want systems to be correct, you know, and whereas a leader, you know, we don't want to experience inertia or the bounce back of those kinds of decisions. So we want to make sure that when we make a decision that we can move this thing forward, you know, because it's hard as a leader when you have such a great idea about something and it does not work, you know, and that anarchy experience is for managers. They don't want uprisings. They don't want to deal with the politics of things. Just tell us what we have to do. Okay?
A manager plans, budgets, and designs detailed steps. And a leader does not want to develop the vision and strategies to
achieve it. All right, so here we are. When we think about that process is you plan as a manager, budget, and design detailed steps, whereas we just have a vision and we have some strategy. Maybe we could do this. Now, as a manager, it is your responsibility to go and really define what we are to do and how we can do it.
Set standards of performance.
And?
A leader.
Set standards of excellence. That's why every time you talk to me, ladies, I am saying one or two things. How are you doing today? I am what? Excellent. Because I'm a leader and a visionary who is always focused on what? Standards of excellence.
A manager develops the detailed plan to achieve results.
And a leader, and our final point today, is develops the future direction, gathering future trends by seeing how things are going. So we want to thank you for joining us at Woman Act Now Radio today. We've talked about leadership power, how to show up, speak up, and step up with our guest, Ellen Nieves. And we want to encourage you to visit her website, Leadership Strategies for Women. In addition to that, we want to encourage you to join us on Monday for 15 Minutes to Destiny. and change your destiny. Invite a friend to join you to see what Woman Act Now is all about. And also, for those who are listening, we want to invite you to St. Louis in August 20th, for our Woman Act Now annual conference and empowerment conference, along with our family there in St. Louis. So mark your calendars and join us. We'll talk to you real soon. You can visit our website to register for that conference at www.womanactnow.com or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. And if you're enjoying this show, Woman Act Now, please choose to like us and share us with your Facebook friends and Twitter. But you can choose us as a favorite, and you'll get a reminder to listen in. So we'll talk to you real soon. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Stop. Listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Who's that?